Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. And I know a lot of the country is kind of under some bad weather. It's cold. It's rainy. It's cold and rainy. It's a lot of that stuff. But I think Thanksgiving is a great time. And hopefully everybody can get together with some family and had as good a time as possible on Thanksgiving. We're going to talk, because it is Thanksgiving and there's a lot of football being played on Thanksgiving, we're going to talk a lot of football. And there's not so much golf going on right now because they're kind of in their pause period, if you will, getting ready for, well, if nothing else, Tiger Woods to resurface and show off what he's got with Rory McIlroy and Spieth and those guys, and then with his son and with his buddies down in the Bahamas. So we'll see a lot of Tiger in the next couple of months, maybe not a lot of anybody else, but golf, again, taking a bit of a timeout. We've also got World Cup soccer happening. So why not talk about the most exciting slash boring game in the world? Soccer. And Frank Bassett joins us in the Nashville studios, who's just enamored with the world game of soccer, football.
The most football. Boring crap on the face of the earth. Good Lord, I hate soccer. I hate soccer. And they took away the beer in Qatar or Qatar. Or Dumbo or wherever the hell it is.
Yeah. Drink and drown your sorrows if you have them.
There's a boatload of Budweiser, though, sitting in a warehouse, and they're going to give it. They're going to distribute it to, I guess, the winning teams.
You could fill the Atlantic with the Budweiser being stored up that they haven't been able to use.
But I love Bud, you know. So send it to. I don't drink much beer at all.
It's such a weird thing too, Frank. Because let's be honest, they totally knew, meaning Qatar, the country, that there was requirements in getting the bid. They got the bid 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And one of them was, of course, beer sales, because it's a huge sponsorship for FIFA and all that. And then the week before, to kind of go, we kind of changed your mind. We don't really want the beer there. I don't even know how you get away with that, because somebody's paying somebody something. And maybe Qatar said, okay, it's a $25 million, a $50 million sponsor, whatever.
Here's the money.
Here's the money, yeah. I guess. And probably. In lieu of you not having stands and selling beer everywhere. But, yeah I don't know if fans are going to. I have read that fans are being caught. What a shock. With beer like coming out of everywhere. Yeah, I mean, they got every pocket hidden there and hidden. They got to check every, because they're trying to get the beer in as much as they can.
Of course.
It's so far now.
Great story. Remember the Miller ponies, the little pony bottles of Miller?
Oh, yeah.
So it was cold, and I'm going to an Ole Miss basketball game, and I put on my long, you know, in those days, a trench coat is what it was called.
Yeah.
And filled every orifice of that coat with
all
a Miller.
The pockets.
Yeah.
The collar.
Well, I'm going up the steps into Tad Smith Memorial Coliseum at the University of Mississippi, and I stumble and fall. And when I do, every beer comes out and busts and goes everywhere. Needless to say, didn't get to stay for that game. They escorted my butt right out of there. So, anyway, that's crazy. But, again, nothing against the soccer fans, I'm sure, or football, whatever they call it. But it's boring to me. It's very boring.
To be honest. I mean, it is. We're talking about yesterday, and this being a couple of days after Thanksgiving, that we're doing the podcast. The U.S. played England in a big match, if you will, because they needed to either tie or win to kind of really have a good chance at advancing, and they tied, and it was 0-0 tie.
And Wales lost, too, so that put us in a better position.
But I would have been happy with a 5-5 tie. I mean, if you're going to tie,
exactly.
Right? That 4-4 tie would have been nice. 0-0
Okay, honey, wake me up when it's over. All right.
That shouldn't even be allowed in a sport that's as big as this. And yet, the rest of the world, Frank, I mean,
you and
300 million Americans are the idiots, because we sit there saying the same thing, a lot of us, most of us. And yet the rest of the world kind of goes, oh, fascinating. It's just a glorious, glorious game.
Nashville built, I believe it is the new soccer stadium here, is the largest soccer stadium in the U.S.
Okay.
Right down off of the river. It's a gorgeous facility. They built it. It's new. It's ready for the Nashville soccer team, whatever they call them.
Yeah.
Well, they forgot to do something. They forgot the fact that you got to have parking for a stadium that big, don't you?
What do you mean they forgot?
They didn't put enough parking in, and people are parking on the streets, and cars are getting towed at every game. And
get out of here, really?
Let me tell you. Don't even get me started on Davidson County, Tennessee, and the management of this county politically. 37% tax increase this past year?
I don't have property tax increase? You kind of go on your own.
Well, how would you like to just get a note? Oh, by the way, your property tax is going up 37%.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Hello. Wow. And they said, well, it's lower than the national average. I don't give a damn. Yeah, I mean, 37%.
Maybe a little bite at a time.
But
if you
no money is coming out of taxpayer money. No taxpayer money will be used for this stadium. Oh, that's what they're saying about the new football stadium we're about to build for how many billions?
They're so full of
it. And it's going to be the smallest venue in the NFL. Get this. Right. The largest soccer and the smallest seating for the NFL.
Interesting. Is that right? I wonder why they're doing that.
Jesus criminy. Who knows? Whatever. Anyway, hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's still golf. I mean, this coming week, we're going to get to see Tiger, and that's going to be a huge deal.
Yes.
And see where he is. And then the next week, we'll get to see Tiger again, and we'll get to see the new and improved version of Charlie Woods, which, have you seen pictures of him?
Oh, yeah.
Is he going to play football or what?
Little Junior hasn't fallen far from the tree, has he?
No.
I mean, he's got the same body, the same swing. Yeah, it's I've even heard some people being critical, because certainly Tiger, in a lot of people's opinion, overbuilt up, right?
Yep.
And caused a lot of his injuries.
Yeah.
And yet here's Tiger. I mean, here's Charlie at, what is he now, 14?
What's he going to do? Take him up and throw him out of a plane so he can paratroop down?
Like he's got the same
go, Charlie,
it's
your turn.
Or something, right? I mean, it's like he's trying to be a linebacker. So
he looks
know.
Like
we'll
it.
See.
No,
we'll
he looks
I mean,
like
certainly
it.
Dad knows pretty good about how to be a great golfer. So
well, yeah.
It's hard to be critical, but at the same time, you're like, well, you know, Tiger, you know, look at John Daly, the worst body in the history of bodies, right? And John Daly is still swinging and
he's
playing.
He's one of my personal friends, man.
You know,
don't diss on him. I love John.
We're being honest about soccer. Let's be honest about John Daly's body.
Okay.
And his son is following along with him, right?
Yeah.
And who's playing longer in the game? I'm not saying who's better, but as far as, like,
John Daly. John Daly has a following, Tim. My God, he has a following still to this day.
Yeah.
Throngs of people go after him, just like Tiger. I mean, he's that popular.
Yeah.
And he was on, by the way, we talked about it in pre-show, Marty and McGee. I love that show Saturday mornings. If you are from the South or SEC, you'll watch Marty and McGee right before SEC Nation comes on. And John, they were showing clips of this past year. And, of course, John was the guest picker on Marty and McGee, guest, whatever, at the University of Arkansas when the show was live from there. And they said, joining us now, John Daly. And you're sitting there on the couch with him. And he said, well, I got to admit, I'm drunk. This is at 8:30 in the morning.
Before we go anywhere. Yeah. Let's just start with that.
So he's a real dude, is what I'm saying. He's just he's one of us. You know.
He is a real dude.
He's a real dude.
Yeah. But point is, his body's holding up. How? I don't know. He's
destroyed
every
it over
expectation.
Time.
But I'm telling you, he's pushing 60, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't he 55, 6, 7, somewhere there?
Yeah.
And he's, you know, 350 pounds, all belly.
Well, no, he's not that big.
I'm just saying. He's not a small man.
He is not a small man.
He's still going. And he never seems to have a lot of, I'm sure he does, but he doesn't seem to have a lot of body health issues. He might have liver issues, but he doesn't seem to have torn this and twisted that. And Tiger's gone through, what, about 400 operations? I'm just saying, it's
four,
a weird
four
thing.
Swing changes.
Yeah, it's just weird that the one guy who's, looks like he'll never survive and never be able to make it as an athlete, if you will, and another guy who looks like a pure athlete and one is broken down multiple times and the other guy hasn't. It's just a little contrast. So we'll see both of those guys, because weren't they first and second at the father-son last year? Didn't the Dailies beat the
yes,
Woods?
Yes. So it's the rematch. Yeah. The rematch.
Yeah.
I predict the Woods will prevail.
Or there'll be a wrestling match.
Well, if that happens, well, and that might be pretty cool too between the two boys. So, of course, Daly Jr. is at the University of Arkansas. So
he's in Arkansas. Hey, by the way, I've got to give you props because you went to Ole Miss, but you're from Arkansas. Correct?
I am. Bassett, Arkansas.
And your family's from there and everything.
Yep.
And I was talking to a friend of mine who you were talking about beer earlier. He is with Yingling Beer. Do you have Yingling in Tennessee?
Yes, we do. It's a very good beer.
They're
an Eastern, one of my favorites.
They started in the east part of the country, in Pennsylvania.
It's the oldest, isn't it?
Yeah, the oldest. 200 years ago. And they've moved west slowly but surely. And anyway, so they're now in Texas, and I've gotten to know him, and he's a really cool guy. He was taking his daughter around for college visits, and one of the visits they went to was Arkansas. Now, he's from Boston, right, and went to school at I think Holy Cross and whatever, but a very Boston guy.
Very, very Ivy League-ish.
And so he's taking his daughter, and she wanted to see Clemson. She wanted to see Arkansas and Oklahoma and some different schools.
Yeah.
Arizona State was one of them. And he goes, I went to Arkansas thinking, you know, as a lot of Northerners are going to go, oh, come on, really? What are we going to see the hillbillies and all that? He said, Arkansas is one of the coolest schools he's ever been to.
Uh-huh.
And he said Fayetteville is a very, very cool city that people don't appreciate. And because of the influence of the Walmart family, and
Sam Walton,
he said the business school is phenomenal, which is what she wants to get into, is a phenomenal business school at Arkansas.
It's
and
good
I think
school.
That's like the front runner now. Yeah. He
said it's
he
good
was
school.
Totally shocked.
No
totally
Ole Miss?
Shocked.
No Ole Miss?
They did not visit Ole Miss, no. Don't know why.
Huh. You know, but Ole Miss is, you know, I just didn't want to go to the University of Arkansas. I wanted to go to Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's all right.
Love Ole Miss.
Good. I got another connection for you.
Uh-oh.
At the same party, I was at a party to
I saw the pictures of you with
quotes,
all the celebrities. Uh-huh.
Air
I
quotes,
yep.
Watch World Cup. I don't know why a guy in the U.S. would have a party to watch World
y'all
Cup.
Went to, y'all went to have drinks early in the
so,
day.
Yeah, so we went to there and, yeah, drank Yingling. And,
that was his house?
And I was talking – no, it was another guy, another friend. And anyway, got to talking to Burton Gilliam, who we've had on the show a number of times from Blazing Saddles.
Lyle.
The actor for Lyle, you know, forever and ever. And he's very good friends with Rudy Gatlin
from
the Gatlin brothers. And so Rudy was there. And so we were all talking and whatever. And Rudy lives with his brothers in Nashville.
Yes,
he was in Dallas forever and ever. And they're all West Texas boys, Lubbock area. And they're all – they grew up with Randy Smith. So Scotty Scheffler, come full circle. Scotty Scheffler, the coach, is Randy Smith, who coached a bunch of the guys and Justin Leonard and all kinds of tour players from Royal Oaks. And Rudy was at Royal Oaks forever and ever. And I've known Rudy for 30 years or something.
Oh, yeah.
And a big golfer, loves to play golf.
Oh, big time.
They all grew up in West Texas together, the Gatlin boys and Randy Smith. And I guess maybe there's that golf connection there. So they lived in Dallas forever. Certainly Rudy did. But he's moved to Nashville for the last 7 years because they're doing a lot of touring and studio work, and it's just a lot more business being done in Nashville for him. And anyway, same thing with Arkansas. He was just going, he goes, just like you say all the time, he said, Nashville is changing like you can't believe. He goes, we want to shut the door and say no more.
We do.
Our little secret's out, and everybody's not coming.
Goes, everybody's coming here.
Overloading with people, which he said is fine, but he goes, it's just different. It's
don't
changed
bring
the
your
last
politics.
10 years. It's changed the last 10 years that he's been there, so he but he loves Nashville. So
did Rudy mention the fact that how well I played in the Ray Stevens charity tournament when he was my playing partner a couple of years ago?
No, I don't know that he did.
Yeah,
I don't know
if
he brought
imagine
that.
I don't know, but he's a good golfer. He plays really well.
Plays a lot. Yeah,
he's a good dude. He's a good fellow to be around. So is Burton Gilliam. So what other celebrities were at this little community party of yours in your neighborhood?
Yeah, it was some. Mm-hmm. Some local people we had, who did we have there? We had a former mayor, Ron Kirk, from Dallas, and he then was in the Obama administration for 2 terms. He was a Secretary of Transportation, I believe was his title.
Would he come back, please, and redo
Secretary
this?
Of Commerce.
Never mind, I won't go there.
So he's a very cool guy, Ron Kirk. So he was there. Who else did we have there? We had Roger Staubach popped in for a little bit.
Oh, good.
So he was there, Roger Dodger.
Now, he played for who?
Oh, speaking of which, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, the Cowboys, I'll come back to my story, the Cowboys and Giants game, sorry, from Thanksgiving day, right, which you watch, I'm sure, and I watch, apparently everybody watched. It is now, it just came out this morning, Frank, the most watched regular season NFL
saw that.
Game ever.
Saw that this morning.
Isn't that crazy? 44 million people or something like that, average, watched that Thanksgiving Day game with the Cowboys. More than anybody in history of regular season, not Super Bowls and stuff, but regular season.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy that
was. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
So anyway, back to the, let's see, who else was there? Bill McAtee was there.
Oh, Bill.
So, yeah. So from
cool dude.
CBS Golf.
Yeah.
And, does a lot of stuff with, with the Masters.
Gary Koch or Roger Maltby, none of those guys popped in?
They had time.
Since they have plenty of free time right now?
Yeah, they got some time. Oh, I should have asked him about that. I didn't even think to ask him about what he thought about those. Because Bill's getting in the 60s now, and you know all that kind of...
Probably not a good thing to bring up at a holiday party.
Thing, I was going
to
say. Yeah,
after a bunch of drinks.
How much longer you got?
Hey, are they going to fire you too?
Is Vern still Masters, isn't he? He's done with college football, but isn't Vern still on 16 at the Masters, or am I wrong on that? Do you remember?
Man, you know, this is terrible. We're
Did
there every
the
year.
Did he make the cut? I don't know if he's. I know he retired
probably.
From college football, But I think he stayed on. I think he's still doing it. But I think he gave a limit, like he's going to do two or three more of Masters or something.
I don't know. We're seeing it's that time. It's that season in our lives when we're going to see a lot of changes. Yeah. And it happens. You've been in the media business for a long time.
Yeah.
And you see
it. It's understandable.
It.
You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I thought that Pat Summerall stayed too long, if you will. You know, at some point you get to be pushing 80. That's a lot. That's a little. Now, even if you're competent, I'm not saying you're competent or not, and I'm not saying it's all about age. What I am saying, it's about opportunity. And at some point, Pat Summerall had the chance to do what he loves to do when he was 35 years old, 38 years old, 40, or whatever it was. Same thing with McAtee and Vern Lundquist, all these guys. But to not give it up means that, well, nobody else is getting that opportunity. Yeah. So at some point, if you're 70, 75, still doing it, somebody who's 35 and wants that same chance has to have that chance. And that's what bothers me is when they hold on to that job that rightfully could be somebody else getting their career chance to do it. So anyway, that's why I don't look at it as an age thing. I look at it more as like,
hey, I know
people that need an opportunity.
We're jumping around, having fun. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. But I talked about Marty and McGee, the morning show that the pre-show for really SEC Nation. Now, the people on SEC Nation, do you know the crew on SEC Nation? I mean, you know who they are, right?
Roman. Pretty much I know who they are. Sure.
Kate Roman. What's Roman's last name? I'm going totally blank. Big-time football player. You know, played at Alabama. Big player. Played professional football. Then you have Tim Tebow in the middle.
Yep,
then you have Jordan Rodgers. Well, this morning, they had Nick Saban on the pre-show, Marty and McGee. And then they switch over to SEC Nation. And I don't know why this popped into my head, but I just was watching it. And of the three big-time players that are on this show, Feinbaum, of course, is on it, and the young lady, I can't think of her name. I should know that. I mean, anyway.
Yeah, you watch it every day. You said,
I watch
every
it
week.
Every week. What am I thinking?
Apparently not.
Well, I do.
You watch it with John Daly?
Pretty much, yeah. What's left of the
drinking?
Previous night.
Yeah, drinking
had
while
a big
watching?
Night. Big night last night. No, anyway, the only player on that panel to have beaten Auburn was Jordan Rodgers. I thought for sure that Florida had beaten Auburn or Alabama, but when...
What are you talking about? You're saying that Saban hasn't beaten Auburn?
No. Saban wasn't on it. I'm talking about the broadcasters, Roman,
okay.
Tebow, and Rodgers.
The guy from Alabama,
Yeah. And he said he was quarterback at Vanderbilt. No, he was quarterback at Vanderbilt.
No, I'm saying, didn't you say there was an Alabama guy?
Alabama guy, yeah. That's Roman.
Former Alabama. Yeah. And he never beat Auburn?
Uh-uh.
Interesting.
Mm-mm.
Came at the wrong time, I guess, right? He was doing the Shula years.
Never beat Cadillac Williams.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an interesting game. Alabama-Auburn today. Auburn's playing with a lot of passion and very physical right now under Cadillac Williams.
Yes. Interim coach.
Yeah. And Alabama, of course, is 9-2, you know, and they've lost two games by a total of 4 points. Four points. But they're not even talked about in the national championship. Nah, not even close. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think there's a few things. I mean, one, Alabama has no chance to play in the SEC championship game.
No.
Right? They're out of it.
They're out.
And so that takes them out of the national championship because unless there's an unforeseen, never happened before in history circumstance, the committee that picks the final four teams always looks at a conference championship as one of the big main things. Well, of course, if Alabama can't even play in that game, that should take them out of the picture because they have no chance of even being in that game. So that takes them out. The game I'm really interested in today will be USC-Notre Dame. I'm a big Notre Dame fan.
That's a huge game.
They, of course, have no chance to go anywhere. But, I mean, they'll go to a bowl game or whatever.
But they can kill USC.
It's USC because USC is right there on the doorstep with LSU just waiting for somebody to tumble. And they know that Michigan plays Ohio State. Well, okay, that's going to knock somebody today, theoretically, could knock one of those two out of the four. Right now they're 2-3. Now some people are also saying if it's a really close field goal kind of game, maybe they'll flip-flop and go 2-3, but they may keep them both in there. They're both undefeated. That's a possibility.
Well,
but if not, TCU is right there. They play Iowa State today. Should be a win for TCU. They're 11-0 as well. They're right there to move
on. They need to blow them out.
A lot of drama. A lot of drama.
There's a lot of drama today.
Football
and
today.
LSU
great
sitting right there, but don't you think that committee is just, they do not want to see Georgia and LSU up there?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't think they, you know, necessarily Ohio State and Michigan either, right? I think it kind of hurts when there's two teams out of four from the same conference, and we've seen it with the SEC.
there. It's got
to think, even though you want the best, and I get that, I kind of like to see a national picture a little bit. So I would have no problem if USC, I don't want them to win. But if a USC gets in there, since we've never seen a Pac-12 team in there in the Final Four I'm talking about, a TCU would be great because it's somebody different. That was, I was hoping for Tennessee to be one of them, maybe, you know, knock a Georgia out or something like that, which I guess could still happen. I just want new blood. You know, I'm tired of the same teams in there.
That's a big, two thoughts here. Number one, you're never going to see a national picture as long as we have the monopolies of these major conferences. You're not.
Yeah.
Number two, Tennessee Vanderbilt's tonight here in Nashville. Yeah. We've been invited. We are looking for cool weather and pouring down rain all night.
Yeah.
Now, the second string quarterback from Tennessee has an arm like a cannon.
Yeah.
I mean,
because Hooker got knocked out.
Yeah, he's out. Yeah, he's hurt. And that's a shame because he was right up there in the Heisman Trophy voting.
Yes, he was.
I think personally, not because I'm from the South and not because I'm not a huge Tennessee fan at all, but he needs to be in the discussion of the Heisman Trophy still, simply because of the year he had. I mean, my Lord. So, anyway, long story short, if Vanderbilt beats Tennessee tonight, you know, that changes the complexion of everything.
Because Tennessee's got the one loss, but it was a horrible loss.
Yes, it was a horrible loss, yes.
Yeah.
And so that's and South Carolina's playing today. Let's see, who's South Carolina playing? Clemson.
You know.
Clemson. And that's a big game for South Carolina. It's at South Carolina, I believe.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And what happened at on Thursday, Frank? Was there another game on Thanksgiving?
Thanks for listening, everybody. We've got to go now. We are not going to talk about that.
Is that a big
They call run? It Starkville for a reason.
There's nothing there?
There's nothing there. No, I'm kidding. Mississippi State's a great school. Ole Miss. Okay, let's get into this, and I'm sure our listeners don't want to hear this crap.
It was a close game.
It was
close game.
Well, like the Ole Miss-Alabama game was close, too, if they'd made the right calls for Ole Miss, and when Alabama's players stomped our quarterback's head into the ground twice, two different times, and didn't call personal foul.
Yeah,
I don't know. The Ole Miss Mississippi State game, I mean, it is what it is. It's over. But the team was flat. And you and I talked about this, I think, or maybe it was my friend Chuck and I talked about it. But, it was Chuck because we were watching it on our phones together. You know, he was at his house, I'm at my house, and we've got our phones going off talking. It didn't look like the players gave a damn. Mingo, who is a great receiver, dropped three in his hands. I mean, looking at it, and dropped them because he didn't want to get tackled maybe. Who knows why?
Yeah.
The team looked flat. Now, is that Lane Kiffin's fault? I've got to say that why didn't he just come out if he's going to stay at Ole Miss and say, I'm staying at Ole Miss, period, forget about it. And that the players maybe would have had some more incentive. I think that they were flat because they weren't sure what was going to happen.
You think so, huh?
I think that could be part of it, psychologically.
And Frank, speaking to the fact, for people out there that aren't maybe on top of it, that Ole Miss's coach, Lane Kiffin, is rumored to be talking to Auburn, or at least looking at kicking the tires, doing all that stuff, and will he leave to go to Auburn is the rumor. And could that affect the team's play?
It would have been, you know, if your leader and your company that you report to is looking at either leaving the corporation or merging with another corporation, wouldn't that kind of make you start thinking, well, maybe I need to go somewhere else? Because who knows what the new leadership's going to do?
What we're doing here?
Yeah.
I got you. So, it's kind of like, I mean, he's their big papa.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, well, why is he leaving the family here? Why is something wrong? Something not. So I think even if you're 18, 19-year-old kid, you got to be thinking that that's a distraction.
Yeah.
If nothing else, that you really don't need. And I'll tell you this, though, Frank. I mean, when you guys hired Lane Kiffin, you knew what you were getting, right? Everybody does. And Lane Kiffin has been a wanderer. I think that's a Stapleton song, isn't it, Chris?
I am the wanderer.
He comes and goes. It's what he does, right? And
I think he's settling down a little more. His kids are older. They don't want to leave Oxford, Mississippi. Oxford, Mississippi is a wonderful town. It's a great place to live, although Mississippi is not really known for a lot of good stuff as far as, you know, median income and the quality of the water in Jackson and other things. But Oxford's a fabulous town. It's just 60 miles south of Memphis.
But he's on a he's one of those guys that, not unlike Mississippi State's coach, whose name I'm forgetting right now, who's the Pirate? Why am I forgetting? The old Tech coach. The guy at Mississippi State now.
I don't have any of my notes in front of me, and I know. I was looking at him.
It'll come back to me here.
I don't really try to remember people like that.
Some of those guys just are wanderers. They're just never, you could say all you want about this place is great, and this has got this, and they're moving on. They're always moving on. And that's kind of Lane Kiffin's MO. And
wouldn't you hate for your legacy to be, you went from one to another to another to another?
I just think it's a personality thing. I don't think they choose it. I don't think they're doing it to be disruptive. I think they just have a feeling like I just get antsy. I'm ready to go. And a lot of coaches, before they get to be Lane Kiffin, before they get to be a head coach at a big school, they are assistants at 10 schools in 10 years, right? So they get that mode going because they're an assistant here, and then they go over here, and then they go to this one, they go here, and they're coordinated, and then they move. That's their and then they finally try to settle down, but some of them can't. They're just, they keep going in that same, even if they're a head coach, they just keep finding another job here and there and there. And plus, money makes you talk. If there is some kind of, something that Auburn could offer that Ole Miss wouldn't offer, maybe, who knows. Facilities matter, all that kind of stuff. And sometimes guys use it as a tool, like Mississippi right now might be getting together going, hey, boys, who's got money? Everybody put it on their table.
Well, there's a lot of money in Mississippi, I'll tell you.
And Lane's going to get, well, those,
and that's what's going on.
Talking about have alumni that'll be more than happy to write checks.
So you're saying
Lane doing this to get a bigger check from some of the good old boys at Mississippi to say, well, would you please stay? And you're like, okay, now I will. You bought me a jet. Thanks.
Well, are you saying that some of these guys that we consider wanderers are just addicts to paying points on new mortgages? Oh, they're having the school pay the points on the new mortgage.
You see what they get to save in. Every year they can only get saving so much because these guys are all, almost everybody we're talking about are state schools, and they're state employees. They're the highest paid state employee in almost every state. That's what we've talked about.
Saban
can't necessarily get $20 million even if they say, well, we'll give you 20. Well, if it's state money, it's a little hard. Taxpayers are going to go, we're really paying a football coach $20 million. But what they can do is, you're right, buy him another lake house if he wants, buy him another jet if he needs one.
Or a Mercedes dealership in Nashville, Tennessee.
Take care of all these things side that we can slide your way. So, yeah, that's kind of the game that they get caught up in. And all I'm saying is, if there's a guy at Auburn who's got the biggest cigar in the room and he's saying, okay, Lane, I'm telling you right now, I got you a Citation 695. That's the biggest jet they make. Then maybe Lane's head's turning, going, oh, I like that.
I'd take a G5 right now, and it's an old plane.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, so, aside from $9 million that Saban
can you do that voiceover again? I'll tell you what I'm going to do, buddy.
Aside from the $10 million Saban makes, he's got a lot of perks. A lot of perks on the side, as a lot of these guys do.
Highest paid coach in all of football? Is that what I've heard?
So, but anyway, it's good to be back to the general football.
And where's the worst clothes? On SEC Nation today. It looked like he shopped at a bankruptcy sale at Steinmart.
Who are we talking about?
Saban.
Oh, well.
God, the man can't work. I mean, the kind of money he has, you would think he would have Bergdorf Goodman or Brooks Brothers make it.
Most of these guys only just wear, like, college gear, right? I mean, they're just
wearing. No, he had on a suit and a horrible tie and a cheap-looking shirt. I looked at him. I went, "What the hell did he sleep in that crap?"
I think you just don't like him.
No, Nick Saban's
got to have some nice suits.
He's a nice guy. You would think he does. I mean, he's a nice guy. He owns the Mercedes dealership here in Nashville. Sure. There are two, but the big one, Music City Mercedes, which is right, close to me, where they wear lab coats, and every time I take one of the cars in, they have on a lab coat and a clipboard. And I'm like, God, it's like
really,
yeah. Anyway. and they have like a Lamborghini and a Bentley and sitting on the showroom floor that are like custom cars and stuff, just sitting around.
Yeah.
I guess they're Nick stowaways. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, he's doing pretty well, is what we're saying. So he's got no motivation to leave. Where's he going to go from Alabama? Although my wife brought up a point. She said, there might be one, and maybe a guy like Saban. Some of these guys are also looking to make their mark at another place and say, okay, I've done everything possible I could do at Alabama. Could I, and if I want 5 more years of coaching, could I take, making this up, could I take Florida State and put them back on top? He's not going to go to some Central Carolina.
Well, that's Spurrier.
But could you go to another school and bring them and say, "That's see how great I am. I didn't just do it at Alabama. I also or LSU. I also did it at Florida State."
I think Saban's tired. I think he's tired. I mean, he's been through the ringer. He should be worn out.
But
remember, Spurrier left and went to South Carolina,
right?
And turned that program around as best he could.
Lou Holtz kept going, right? I mean, he didn't want to leave Notre Dame, but he did. But I think that a lot of these guys it's hard for them to give that up. It's a lifestyle. We're talking about, Saban looks like he's tired. Of course he does. He works 20 hours a day for like the last 37 years.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it never ends. They recruit. They go on and on. I don't know how they keep it up. I mean, it's an amazing schedule that these guys have, and they all have the fear of another guy outworking them, and that can't happen. So I got to make sure me and my coaches are all in at 3 a.m. to make a film. It never stops. It never stops. So some of them just think, one more stop, and I can prove, South Carolina, good example. Take a school that's could do something, hasn't yet, and I'm going to make them into a national champion.
Well, their quarterback last week against they took Tennessee to the mat. That quarterback, my God, it was a Tom Brady type game for him.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Just a quick interruption in this crazy conversation that you guys are hearing today on Golf Talk America, because I want to talk to you very briefly about something I experienced over Thanksgiving. And that was how tired I got after I ate. And I ate a lot. And guess what? It's kind of like what Tiger and Phil said about golf is a mental game. Well, Thanksgiving is a mental game, too. You got to be smart when you're eating all that food. And so guess what I did? I went to my golf bag and pulled out one of my favorite bars to eat. It's a hole-in-one bar. It's an incredibly good nutritional bar that gives you no jitters. It gives you energy. It's no crash. So after all that turkey, guess what, folks? I went to my bar that I eat on the golf course all the time, my hole-in-one bar from Brickhouse Nutrition, and ate it. Guess what? I didn't get sleepy. I could watch the rest of the football all day and then eat more that night. Didn't eat another hole-in-one bar after about 10 o'clock, but boy, it was really good, and it's given me a whole new thought process into where I'm going to use those things. Here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to take what Hole-in-One Bars calls their challenge. I want you to switch from your energy bar or drink to Hole-in-One Bars and see what improvement in your game you can get instantly and improvement in how you feel. It's just a great product. Honest to goodness, we use it at Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and I both love them, and it gives you enough focus when you have it on the golf course to take strokes off your game because you're concentrating. Like I said, Tiger and Phil said it, golf's a mental game. What happens between the tee and the pin depends on what's going on between your ears. So here it is, folks. Take the Hole-in-One Bars Challenge again. Change your energy bar, go to Hole-in-One Bars, and see the improvement. Let's get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit holeinonebar.com, promo code GOLF. That's going to be easy enough, right? Promo code GOLF. That's holeinonebar.com, promo code GOLF. Check them out for 15% off. Thanks, Hole-in-One Bar. You allowed me to eat way too much on Thanksgiving.
So anyway. Right,
well, Georgia plays Georgia Tech, too, so that would be a big upset. But Georgia's struggled the last couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, but that's not.
Tougher games, but that one probably won't be it. A&M, all by the way, there's another A&M, job.
A&M, tennis,
that's a job.
LSU.
They've lost six in a row. Yeah. Six in a row, and they're paying their coach. I mean, their coach is being paid like Saban.
Jimbo. I know. Jimbo's on his way out.
And they'd have to buy him out, Frank, and his buyout is something like $70 million. And teams are usually okay to, which seems weird, to buy you out for 15.
Well, there's that kind of money in Texas.
Million, we'll give you the money. They owe the guy like $70 million if they cut him. 70, that's a big. Yeah, you might have the guys with the big cigars saying, I got that. But seriously, $70 million is a big nut to
Well, Jimbo Fisher is.
Let him get another job.
You know what? He maybe can get a job coaching a junior high school team somewhere.
maybe.
Iowa. I mean, come on. Nothing against Iowa, folks. We know we have listeners in Iowa.
Love Iowa.
Love Iowa. Zach Johnson, we love you, pal. I don't know. Anyway, so let's get back to golf before we get out of here. And coming up, is Tiger's tournament, the Hero World Challenge, right? Is that what it is?
That's in December. He's got that one in,
that's next
in the
week.
Bahamas.
Yeah.
He's got that coming up in Albany in the Bahamas. Yep. And 20 guys, they'll be playing. And by the way, a lot of money. First place out of 20
yeah.
is $1 million.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's not like it's a small tournament as far as numbers go, but
they get points for this. FedEx Cup points, and it's a 54-hole event.
Well, that's again, we've talked about the Tiger and his connection with the PGA Tour versus LIV Tour. You see why Tiger has the loyalty to a large degree is Tiger gets a little bit of everything he wants, and maybe
pretty
gets
much
everything he wants, right? And so that tournament should be.
Don't you think he would at LIV?
Well, he would, but I'm just saying the PGA Tour has bent over backwards to make giving him points for a let's get together and have some beer tournament with my boys. And oh, you
in
want
Albany
points for? Yeah, let's go to Bahamas. Sure. And
that's
by the
a
way, we're
gorgeous
place. That
oh
first place is a million dollars for the guys having fun for the weekend. Last place, I think everybody who goes gets at least $100,000.
Something
for just
whatever
showing up
plus
on your jet.
Plus your comp. You stay there at the resort.
You get a hero motorcycle.
Comp, get a hero. Yeah.
You know.
Cool.
I mean, yeah.
I want an Indian. You know what Indians are? The motorcycle.
Yeah, those are cool.
I want an Indian.
Yeah.
My wife won't let me get near a motorcycle.
Oh,
well, I've been on the verge. I was at the Harley dealership, and I think she sniffed it out because the phone rang about the time I walked in the door.
Yeah,
she said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm Christmas shopping. For me?
Well, that'll be Tiger, and he plays with his son. So we'll see Tiger three times, including the match, which is coming up pretty soon.
The match, yeah.
The match, which will be he and Rory against Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth.
Well,
and
I think I'm going to hop a flight and go down for the father-son. I think that'll be a lot of fun. So I'm going to probably go down and cover that live.
That's Orlando?
Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah.
Ritz-Carlton Golf Club.
And the match is at, is it Pelican Bay?
Mm-hmm.
Near
it
Tampa,
is.
Right?
Yeah. So
they're doing that one, and then he goes to Bahamas. So he's really not leaving the greater Florida area. Tiger's
no.
not traveling an awful lot, but we'll see him three times here in the next six weeks or so.
Can't afford the fuel for his jet. You know, God, really. Seriously. But it's been a fun year, Tim. It always is.
Yep.
You and I have a good time. I step on your statements constantly, and you know,
right.
I'm like the intern that came to work at the CBS affiliate where you were the sports director, but never grew up.
Never left. When is Frank going to graduate?
God, get him out of here!
Frank's not graduating.
Shut the hell up, Frank.
This is ninth year of intern. What the hell?
Anyway,
still getting credits? Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, 7 years of college down the drain. Remember
we'll
that?
Enjoy some Glenn Levitt.
Yeah, I will. I will.
Stay
you
warm.
Too. You
I
too.
I would not go to the game tonight, but
I'm not going. We're not going. Ned Michaels, if you listen to the show, which I know you do, you used to be one of the co-hosts of Golf Talk America years ago when we were live every day. Good luck tonight. Good luck. I'd like to see a really good game.
I got invited to the SMU game this afternoon. They play, and I said same thing because it's rainy here in Dallas.
So yeah, like, yeah, it's coming our way. You're sending it.
Sitting there in the rain and watching. I mean, unless your son's on the team.
Well, you're not going to sit outside. You're in a box. I know what you do.
No, no, I'd be outside. His seats is good seats, but they're outside. I'm not going to put in an umbrella and a whole. Oh, that's not fun. That's not fun.
The Vanderbilt Stadium is a great stadium to go to a game in, to watch a game from in.
Well, everybody should watch. Like I said, a lot of great games. Ohio State, the Notre Dame game, the TCU, Iowa State. There's a lot of things on the line right now and a lot of money. You know, if you're getting that Final Four, talking about money, there's a lot of money at stake for those teams that make it. So.
Yeah,
playing for a lot of stuff here. So, but the big one, I think, still, and maybe I grew up in the Midwest, but that Michigan-Ohio State game with all this on the line is
well,
just
the Notre
Dame-USC
game is a huge game.
That has
implications.
I just wish Notre Dame was like, if they were
I wish they'd kill
top 10, it would be better, you know, and all that.
I know.
I'm still going to be watching.
Well, you never know.
You don't.
You never know. At least it's a lot more fun to watch than soccer.
Yep.
Soccer.
All right, we're out of here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We do appreciate it. Have a great year. We'll be back here in just a little bit. Maybe take a little bit of time off as golf is kind of doing the same thing. Be sure to check out Invite Aid. If you want to go and get on a golf course and make sure you find a place that's just right for you in your area, Invite Aid, go to invited.com. Used to be Club Corp, now Invite Aid, and they will let you kick the tires, as it were, and check them out. And if you're a member there, you're a member at all the different courses. So be sure to check them. They're a great, great company with wonderful people and amazing facilities at invited.com. All right, we're done. Thank you, Frank, for everything for the last year. We'll be talking again real, real soon. Stay warm, everybody out there, and happy holidays for everybody. So for Frank, I'm Tim Matthews. We'll see you again real soon right here on Golf Talk America.